Psalm 71, verse 9 for our text. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. The words we do believe of David, the psalmist. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. We are continuing to slowly make our way through the book of Psalms, and we've reached Psalm 71 tonight. The title I want to give to our meditation is Struggling but Unstaggeringly Faith. Or Struggling but Unstaggering Faith. Here we have a prayer of an aged, experienced believer. We don't know the exact occasion why David penned this psalm. It's obvious from the psalm that he was not a young individual here. He was certainly towards the latter stages of his life. Again, we find David in difficulty, and as we've been going through the Psalms, we have noted this about David, an experienced believer, constantly, it seems, under afflictions and hardships and difficulties. You could never tell David or speak to David or convince David about easy believism. You could never convince David about being easy to be a believer. David knew it was never easy. Whatever he knew of the Messiah, whatever he knew of Christ, whatever he knew of cross-bearing, he knew it. And this was a reality for David. This was something that was a day-for-day experience. David was continually fighting. David was continually in dire straits. And David was one who proved God in the sense that he had cried out to God on numerous occasions, and God had delivered him. And here we have another one of these prayers where David is crying out to the Lord. And this time he's crying out in old age. There are three things in this psalm, principally, three things that the psalm would teach us. David pleads against his enemies, for instance. And that's why some have suggested that Psalm 70 was attached to this psalm. Some maintain that Psalm 70 is a prelude. There are similar words in it, for instance, confounded and ashamed. And the last time we looked at Psalm 70, we noticed that this is one thing that happens. The psalmist prays that his enemies would be confused and confounded. Well, we find that in Psalm 71 as well. But we're not inclined to agree. We think that Psalm 70 and Psalm 71, although similar, are separate. And Psalm 71 doesn't have a title. There's nothing really unusual in that. We've come across five other psalms in our study who do not have a title also. But David was one who pleads against his enemies. And he was one who is asking in this psalm here for further blessings for himself, that he might be delivered from this affliction. And as we noted with David, when he was one who prayed, when he was one who opened up his heart and laid his prayers and petitions before the living God, he was anticipating a gracious reply. And following that gracious reply, he was going to lift up his voice and he was going to praise the Lord. Someone else has divided this psalm in a slightly different manner. For instance, verses 1 to 4, we have faith's cry for help in these four verses. In verses 5 to 8, here the psalmist is relating his experience. And of course, we can learn much from the psalmist's experience, because he was an exercised and he was an experienced believer. 9 to 13, for instance, here we have him. He's pleading against his foes, again for confusion, again that they might be confounded, in some sense that they might fight against themselves and be the instruments in their own downfall. Verses 14 to 16, he rejoices in hope. And this is one thing that will help every Christian. If we have a wonderful hope before us, and indeed we do have a wonderful hope, the best is yet to come. This is not our home. Here we do not have a continuing city. No, we seek another one to come. And this is a glorious hope. And it's hope that motivates us. It's hope that inspires us. And it was the hope of the psalmist here. 17 to 18, he returns to prayer. David again is showing the way of faith. He's showing the way of walking with God. It is a life of prayer. And someone summed up the Christian life basically by prayer. That's it. That is the sum and the substance of Christian life. It is prayer. And if we are in some sense bereft of prayer, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. David exercised, David experienced, David who had found the Lord out to be true, was whatever he was, a man of prayer. Verses 19 to 21, he repeats his confident hope. Again, there's that hope motivating him and inspiring him that God will hear. How has he got this hope? Why should he have this hope? He has this hope because he's an aged saint by this time, and he has had many experiences to fall back on. And he's using his mind and his memory to a positive effect. God has delivered me on that occasion. God has delivered me on that occasion. God has delivered me on another occasion. He will deliver me in this occasion. That's his hope. God will not fail him. And of course, as we find towards the end of this psalm, he closes with thanksgiving. And this is something that should characterize the life of the Christian. Thankfulness for the wonderful hope that's before all the people of God. So here in our psalm, we have struggling but unstaggering faith. And we find it in David, who is the one type of Christ. And of course, what we see in David, we see exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before we go into some of these things and our application for ourselves, we want to note that he speaks here of some of the most vulnerable stages in our life. For instance, here, verse 6, by thee have I been holded up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And David is recognizing that the Lord knew him in the womb. And of course, in the womb he was born, and that's a very critical stage in the life of an individual. And of course, we all know, we do not know our own births, of course, but we know what it's like to see a baby just born, a few hours maybe born, or a few days, and what characterizes the baby above all things is, in one sense, how dependent the child is. Absolutely dependent upon others, principally the mother and the parents. But the child can do nothing for his or herself. Completely and utterly dependent. And David's concern was, when he prayed this prayer, as he was getting older, he was also going to be more and more dependent because his natural strength was going to forsake him. He was entering into old age with all the difficulties and trials of that stage of life. That's where our text comes from. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. You see, he's going from in the womb to the end of his days. And he recognizes that these two particular points in the life of a human are extremely vulnerable. And he's pleading that the Lord indeed, as he looked after him right at the very beginning in his mother's womb, brought him forth to birth and watched him through, developing through a time of toddler to young person, to young man, to grown up, and then ultimately to old age, that the Lord indeed would not cast him off in that vulnerable time that he finds himself in. I think it is said of the national health. It is one of the things that they mention when they talk about the national health, is to look after us, look after the population, or look after the health of the population from the cradle to the grave. Well, it is nothing in comparison with the care and the concern that God has for his people. David here, as we said, mentions the fact in verse 6, by thee I have been holded up from the womb. But scripture also teaches us that the Lord knows his people even before they were formed in the womb. That's what he says to Jeremiah, I have known thee before thou were formed in the womb, and I have ordained thee to go forth to be a prophet to the nations. And as we take in all the revelation of Scripture, the people of God are to be comforted in the realization that God knows his people from eternity past, right to the end of our lives, and, if we might say, to help us understand this thing that we cannot understand, all the ages of eternity. All the ages of eternity to come. God knows his people, and he has a care and a concern for them. David does not need to worry. Cast me off in the time of old age. God will never do that. Never. For God will be with him right up until the end of his life. Take him into eternity and be with him all of eternity. That's the best way to describe it. But none of us can understand. We cannot comprehend eternity. It's beyond us. But the Lord will be with his people. Someone said, God's love towards his people is seen in his continual care for them from the moment they enter the world till they draw their last breath. That's just from this earthly perspective. But it's wider than that. Wider. Beyond our understanding. But not beyond faith. This is what feeds our faith, that the Lord is not one who casts off his people when they become old. You know, that's typically worldly, is it not? Sometimes the state, sometimes countries can get the good out of their, let's say, their young men, for instance. They can get all their life and all their vitality out of their young men. And once they have served their purposes and they are no longer useful for whatever the state previously wanted them for, they are in some sense cast on to the scrap heap. Not so with God. Not so with God. David does not need to worry. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. He knew something of that. Although we do not know the exact occasion when this psalm was penned, it is possible and probable that it was written during the time of Absalom's revolt. And that would have been a terrible, trying time for David. He was still, in some sense, a warrior, but his strength was not what it once was. He was a man of war, but war had taken its toll on him. His natural vigor and strength and enthusiasm and energy and drive was not what it once was. And he was facing a much younger man. And he began to feel the consequences of nature, of old age. And this is where he cries out to the living God, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. This ties in with another verse that we have in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. Isaiah 46, verse 4, where God says to his people, and even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs, that's grey hairs, will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. You see, the God of the Bible is not just a God of good time, as it were. When God goes about to save his people, he saves them entirely. He never turns his back upon them. He is continually looking out for them, and he has their best interests at heart. And David knew this. He knew this from past experience. That's why he pours out his heart before the living God. That's why he's so filled with hope. And that's why he ends this psalm with so much praise. Because he knew the Lord his God would be one who we might say is in for the long haul. You know, there are many believers, if we look at the sermon, if we look at the parable of the sower, for instance, if we look at the teachings that we find there, how that some believers fall away when persecution and difficulties come, when afflictions come, when there's problems because they are identified with Christ, because they're not true-hearted disciples, they throw in the towel. They're not going to put up with trouble following Jesus. They want a pleasant journey. They don't want difficulties. They don't want opposition. They want everything easy. And when they realize it's not always going to be easy, you'll find that they disappear like snow off a dike. Well, God is not like that. God is not like that. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said to the Philippian Christians. And if we know anything about the Philippian Christians, if we know anything about that church, we will know that there were not many problems there. There were one or two problems, certainly. But it wasn't a church like the Corinthian church where there were surrounded by problems, deep problems. The Philippian church was basically a well-organized and a loving and supportive congregation. But Paul says to them, these Gentiles, God has begun a good work in you, and God will not finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, it's full salvation. It's glorification. It's to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will not cast off his people, even in old age. We tried to mention this, something of this, to the old folks at Clarence Court today. I obviously don't know the people there, the old folks there who come to the service, but it's possible when they're in a home, for instance, that people have cast them off. Maybe they've got families, maybe they've got sons, and maybe they've got daughters. And for one reason or another, maybe legitimate reasons, they have in some sense been cast off. It may be that the sons or the family or the daughters, it's impossible for them to look after their aging parents. That's possible. Or maybe they simply don't want to. That may be possible. Or maybe they cannot because they're in another part of the country or in another country altogether, another continent. These are the things that we face in our modern society. But sometimes these elderly folks can feel as if they have been cast off by their families, by their communities. The believer will never experience that. Never. God will never cast off his people. His people are precious to him. They're precious to him when they are in the vitality of youth, when they have reached maybe the zenith of their usefulness and the zenith of their strength. They are precious to the Lord then. And when they are in their declining years, when the world may cast them aside, and when the world may not think much of them, the Lord will not cast them off in the time of old age. And we bless God for that. David himself was entering into that time in his life when he was going to be of old age. Look how we have benefited from his old age experience. What wonderful experience he's able to relate to us of the Christian life or the life of a believer. He knew these things. And his prayer was answered. He will not be cast off in old age. Well, there are three brief things that I want to highlight with you from these verses. First of all, then, David was a long-time believer. A long-time believer. Let me explain what I mean. Verse 5, David says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." David was one obviously born the same way as all of us. He grew up through infancy, and there came a point in his time and his experience in his development that he aligned himself with the Lord in his youth. We don't know much about it. It's not important, these things. But David is saying, I have been a believer from my youth. And now he's in his old age. And therefore he has all this experience. And from the time that he began to truly believe in the Lord his God, he has had wonderful experiences, wonderful deliverances, and he's able to say that God is true. And to follow God and to follow his ways and to cast the world behind him and follow the Lord, it's the life for him. That's what he would tell you, and that's what he would tell me. You will be familiar, no doubt, with that text in Ecclesiastes. We quote it quite often. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not, and when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I think that's what it says, or words to that effect. Well, David had put that words into practice even before they were written, because we believe these words were written by his son Solomon. But David knew what it was from an early age to one who was going to follow the Lord. Verse 17 says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. So David was a long-time believer. Now, before me tonight, with no disrespect to anyone, we cannot possibly say that we're in our youth. We're past that stage. And maybe there are some who have not come to that experience that David came to when he firmly cast his lot in with the people of God. And we might think it's too late. David was a young man when he embarked on the life of discipleship. And we might think it's too late. Well, friends, it's never too late to truly seek the Lord, and it's never too late to truly cast your lot in with the people of God. Yes, friends, youth is the best time. There's no question about it. Because as we go on through life, sin gets harder and harder. It has a hardening effect upon us. And the longer we leave turning to the Lord, the harder it becomes. We get so ingrained in our wickedness and in our ways. But the Lord is mighty. The Lord is powerful. And he can change even the hardest of hearts. We may well be well past our youth. We may well be entering into middle age, maybe even old age. But it's never too late to truly seek the Lord. And there is always mercy, we're inclined to believe, for those who are truly penitent. And God can do wonderful things. And therefore, if we are past our youth, as I believe we are, let us not be ones who will use that to stop seeking the Lord and to stop to begin trusting in him. What else can we see? Well, from verse 7 here, David acknowledges that he was a wonder. Verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. David was a believer, and he was a wonder. Many acknowledged David's life and all that David went through, and they were amazed at him. He had come through scrapes. He didn't have an easy time. He didn't come from a great family. But where was he? He was the king of Israel. And maybe, yes, he was going through a difficult time. And maybe the kingship was in doubt at this moment in time. But nevertheless, he had come a long way. And people had looked at the life of David and said, what a wonder. Look where he has come from. Look what he has done. Look how he has united Israel. Look how Israel is so great under his kingship. Yes, there's a difficulty here, but yes, he had faith and hope that the Lord would iron out that difficulty and he would be restored to the kingship and to the place in Jerusalem again. And therefore he was able to say, I am a wonder unto many. But David puts his wonderfulness, or wonderness if you like, he puts it down to the fact, but thou art my strong refuge. The people see David. That's what they see. They see David with all his success. That's all they see. But David sees he's leaning upon the Lord his God. Christian, you are a wonder. Oh, nothing wonderful in of yourself, but you are a wonder. It's a wonder you're a Christian at all. When you consider all the opposition, all the opposition that comes from your own heart. I think it's someone did say, if I can remember my reading correctly, on another subject altogether, but God had to exercise more power in regenerating a sinner than in creating the universe. Just think of that for a moment. The universe, he spoke, and it happened. There was no opposition. Every single Christian, no matter what our experience, God spoke to us and we rebelled. We resisted. Some more than others. No one was ever converted absolutely instantly. There was always a period when God had to work and God had to break down our rebellion. It's a wonder. Christian, you're a living wonder. And you're only a living wonder because of who's behind our profession, who's behind our faith, who is the one that we must give all the honor to, the Lord our God. David was a wonder in his day and in his time. So is the Christian. Well, finally, we will finish with the fact that David was confident. Verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Outwardly, things look bleak. On the surface, looking horizontally, things look bleak for David. Old age, people had rebelled against him. His own son had rebelled against him. We know ultimately, this was brought about by the living God to chastise him for his sin. Yet all of these things David knew well, and he did put these things into the melting pot, but he was still confident. He was still confident of a successful outcome. And Christian, this is what must be our hope. Our sins may not be public like David's sins, but we have our sins. We have our difficulties. We have our secrets. We have things that we do not wish others to know about, but God does fully know about them. Yet we must be confident. We will yet praise God. We will yet look back in absolute amazement. God has taken me through this. Despite my sins, despite the opposition, despite those who said to David, God has forsaken him, let's persecute him, let's be done with him, he's finished. No, God took him through. He would be successful. He was confident of that. Why? Because he was confident in God. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.